Hello and welcome to the T3 Pid Quiz. This weej with a scropped tipped on a 10-inch netbook with an annotingly tiny keyboard. Oh, coming on this week's compactly jam-packed show, Blackberries are taking over the world. One anonymous F1 champion tells T3 of his addiction.
I don't know how people live without these things.
It's a jungle out there, especially if you're a celebrity. We'll take a look at T3.com's survival guide. And speaking of survival, as you've just noticed, I've spent a week with nothing more than a tiny netbook for my computing needs. Are they really the saviour of laptop kind? Or have we all gone collectively mad? All that and more can be yours if you just listen on. Still here? Marvellous.
I doubt it.
Let me introduce my co-host, the one, the only T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello. That was good. That was a vintage intro.
Thank you. Good week?
It was all right, apart from the thing I'm about to tell you about.
Ah, well, yes. As you mentioned, there is always something to rile even the most placid of souls. So tell me, Duncan, what's been the bird poo on your bonnet this week?
I'll tell you what's been the bird poo on my bonnet this week. I've been doing a loudspeaker test for next month's T3.
Well, like a tannoy kind of thing, or you mean speakers for a stereo?
I mean very, very expensive speakers. And for any burglars listening, I don't habitually have high-end hi-fi equipment in my flat, but I did this week. But you've missed your chance now because it's gone. Yep. But Marantz very kindly loaned me a stereo that was worth some ridiculous sum of money and weighed a ridiculous amount of weight. Namely about 20 stone altogether, four boxes, 20
That's
stone.
That's considerable.
A preamp, two power amps, and a CD player, 20 stone. So anyway, Marantz came to pick up their CD preamp and power amp combination yesterday. And if you were sending a courier to pick up something that weighs 20
Don't
stone.
Don't tell me they came on a bike.
What kind of courier do you think you might send? Maybe quite a burly guy, reasonably fit, at least, you know, kind of quite a big guy,
he'd need to be beardy.
Yeah. They sent, and this is not even a joke, an octogenarian in a Ford Fiesta.
Wait.
They sent an 85-year-old man, and I know this because I opened the door. And
Wait,
he said
seriously
to me,
was 85?
He said to me, I'm 85, you know, in that way that old people do. And he tried to pick up the CD player, which is by far the lightest part of it. It's heavy for a CD player, but very liftable. And he picked it up, and I'll tell you what, he swore an awful lot for a gentleman of that age. He picked it up and went, effing hell, how much does this fucking weigh? And I was like,
"You've got to."
That's the light bit. So I had to carry the entire thing down the bloody stairs. And then he'd locked his Ford Fiesta. Oh, yeah, I got down there, it turned out it was a Ford Fiesta. He'd locked it. So obviously I'd long since, he was carrying the CD player. I passed him carrying this power amp, which weighs 7 stone. So I'm stood there while he's doing this kind of geriatric fumbling at the lock, trying to get it open. I was saying, if you don't get it open in the next 5 seconds, I'm going to basically throw it through your rear window. Well, I've got bruises down my arms. It's so heavy.
This is just a long-winded explanation for those bruises on your arms.
Yeah. That and the heroin abuse.
Yes. That's
the two things.
The travails of being a technology
Honestly, it's no wonder that all high-end hi-fi journalists are all drunks and depressives, and I now know why.
There we go. A little insight there into Duncan's life, I feel. Blackberry season was months ago, but they seem particularly ripe for the picking still this Christmas, with no fewer than 4 new Blackberry handsets in the last month or so. We had the Bold, then the Storm, now a new Pearl, and the Javelin, reviving a brand of fleecy jackets now sorely missed. What's going on with Rim here, Duncan?
What's going on with Rim? I don't know. I think, I think they're overreaching themselves, to be honest.
They've gone mad.
I mean, I know, obviously, Nokia and Sony Ericsson just, like, churn out the handsets, like, so many
Nokia
yards
really
of carpet.
Nokia really were the first with this. They just went crazy, and the numbering system went to pot as they released ever more handsets.
Nobody can keep up with Nokia's numbering system. And,
BlackBerry. Yeah. Well, BlackBerry the same now.
Well, exactly. You always think of BlackBerry as a more high-end, well, they are more high-end business-type thing. So you think maybe, like, 2 or 3 products on the market max at any given time. And at the moment, they're churning them out like, somebody's had a curry the night before.
Well, they've always had a sort of devotee following. I mean, is this going mainstream going to kill them, do you think?
I don't think it's going to kill them. I don't think it's going to do them any favours, particularly in the current economic climate. Putting on my financial journalist hat. I think they're oversaturating their own market. And also, I mean, some of the less good handsets, I don't know, because their market, it's like, I think their less good handsets will actually do much better because the sort of business type following that they have.
Well, the Storm, which came out, what, 2 weeks ago now? Mm-hmm. Was it 2 weeks or a week ago? A week ago, I think. Yep, has been selling like a storm, really. It went flying off the shelves in Vodafone. They sold out over the first weekend.
Well, you'd expect very rapid early sales. I don't know if you'll see that going forward.
Well, Vodafone is saying something like one in six of all their handsets are going to be storms in the run-up to Christmas.
Yeah, but who the hell uses Vodafone? That just means one person.
The biggest network. No, they're probably not anymore. We've got a storm here, actually. Mm. What do you make of it? You've had a chance to play with this now.
I've got to be honest. I could make a very obvious joke here about them. It's made by a company called Rim, and it sucks ass.
Crude.
But that would be crude, so I'm not going to make that joke. But I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest. I quite like the pressy downy touchscreeny thing.
I've got to agree with you there.
To use technical language.
But it's a bit sluggish.
It's very sluggish. I think sluggish is the key word.
Let's go. I'm gonna give this a go here. I've got it in portrait mode.
Yep.
And we're going to flip to landscape. And we'll see how long it takes. Okay, so here we go. 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Still went
and
well.
Now, okay, there we go. Finally. Okay, so let's just do it back again. 1, 2, 3. There we go.
Yeah, see, it doesn't like that. It'll go one way, but not
the
other.
Seriously slow.
I know, and it's... I don't know, I think it's unacceptable, to be honest. But then I think a lot of people seem to have got used to the whole idea of handsets taking a long time to respond, and they just build it into their routine.
The other thing, I'm not a BlackBerry user, but I expect any new handset just to be able to pick it up and use it. Okay, sending a text message with a BlackBerry. Okay, so I'm speaking as I... Go to right SMS. There we go. Okay, compose. Right, so I've got the compose screen. And I go.
This really is live radio at its best.
Hello. Okay, so I'm writing hello. There we go. Oh, that's two. Oh, God, right. Okay, there we go. Hello.
Oh, and the horrible keyboard. Right. The two letters per key keyboard.
Yeah, well, that's all right. You can go sort of landscape.
Oh, does it turn into a proper keyboard if you do that?
Right. Okay. Now, how do you send it? Okay, I spent fucking ages trying to work out how to send the damn thing.
Do you have to use the magical BlackBerry button?
You've got it. Yeah. Well, as I discovered after about half an hour. When I read the manual.
I know. I mean, I think BlackBerry acolytes will like it, and they'll obviously know the quirks of the operating system.
You can keep your storm, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I agree. If you're a normal person, you're going to struggle with this. If you're kind of a BlackBerry nut.
Yeah, you'll like it.
You'll like it.
So, okay, well, the two new ones, the bold ones a while ago, there's a new Flip Pearl.
Yeah, the Flip Pearl, I've seen that. Well, it's sort of a clam, really.
Yeah, clam
shell. I think I'd call it a clam.
Yes, I think that's more accurate.
And there's one called the Javelin.
The Javelin. Or
so they've got a clam.
The Curve 8900, depending on your preference. That's coming out on the 20th of December at Carphone Warehouse. Nicely in time for Christmas. I think that's leaving a bit late. That's even for my Christmas shopping, that's late.
Yeah, it is. Well, I don't know. I mean, who buys a handset for somebody for Christmas? That would just be weird. So I don't know if that's all that much of a problem. The clam thing's quite... It's always quite good to see clamshell phones because you don't see them very much these days. So you get a kind of... warm, nostalgic surge.
Well, I'm still sticking with the flip phone as the ideal format he's bringing back.
We've mentioned this before, and I've noticed that handset operators haven't sprung into action and filled the shelves with flip phones since we mentioned that. But let's mention it again. We are mentioning it again. So hopefully, though. Yeah, no, the flip phone was the original and best.
Absolutely.
The StarTAC and all that.
Absolutely.
All the early Sony Ericsson phones. Lovely, lovely flip action.
One thing that is on the Javelin, not on the Storm, is Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's the other thing about the Storm. No Wi-Fi.
Yep.
Madness.
But I don't know. I think I'm right in saying this, that the Javelin doesn't have 3G. Now, Stone, I may be wrong.
So you don't get... You never get both.
I may be wrong, because I'm still waiting for the full details from Carphone Warehouse.
That's like a sort of BlackBerry...
I haven't seen any mention of 3G. I'm slightly worried.
I must have 3G. Mm. Maybe not. We'll find Maybe it's out. A big BlackBerry prick tease. Someone it's will, like, you can have the one, will, you can have the other, you can't have them both.
Someone will tell us. Do email in and let me know. It's got a 2.4-inch LCD screen, which is RIM's sharpest to date. They're big on their sharp screens. The bold, that was the best thing about it. A fantastic screen.
Yeah.
The rest of the phone was far too large for my liking, but the screen looked gorgeous. So, if this is even sharper... Frankly,
you'll be able to shave yourself with it.
Yep.
It's that sharp. It's nice to have a good sharp screen, but then it's also nice to have to not be driven mad by the operating system.
So speaking of the bold, things haven't actually gone too well with that. Orange and Three had to pull it because of 3G problems. Vodafone had to wait a bit before they brought it out, but they reckon they cracked it. And now T-Mobile has finally released it. It's taken that long. So they're obviously having some sorts of problems.
Well, I suppose that's another thing that happens if you suddenly put out a load of handsets, because surely by definition that means... they haven't had as much man hours poured into them, unless Rim has gone on a sort of massive recruitment drive and now, you know, has... I don't know, yeah, I think that's pretty unfortunate. I think it's unfortunate the way that handset manufacturers do have this habit of bringing things up. Because I think the thing with this Storm is, I'm sure, like a couple of firmware upgrades down the line,
it'll go speedier.
It'll be much faster, but then you don't... It's taking the piss, beta testing things on the public at large, I think.
Especially as Vodafone are making such a big deal as that it's built for them and all this sort of...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it should really work straight out of the box and you shouldn't need firmware upgrades.
We're also seeing a bit of a new phenomena. We've known about BlackBerry addiction for some time. But now it's celebrity BlackBerry addiction.
Have you what does that mean? Celebrities who are addicted? Or...
Yeah. Have you heard about Barack Obama this week?
Yeah. He's the president. He's the most powerful man in the world. So yes.
Well, not yet, but he will be.
Or poised.
No,
to be.
But
in terms of BlackBerries, he's been told not to email people, though, hasn't he? Is that via his BlackBerry?
He's going to have his BlackBerry taken off him.
Right. prized from his cold, dead hands.
Whenever you saw him, he was glued to this thing. But apparently they're afraid of hackers getting into it. And also, there is, in the United States, the Presidential Records Act, which requires all his correspondence to be put on the official record.
Yeah, so, no, I do remember that.
Which could be rather embarrassing, you know, if his mates start sending him several forwards and things like that.
Yeah, or just the general way that people use email on a BlackBerry. You know, it's like texting. It's
exactly.
Like, I'm in the pub. It's just literally that. Working late, we'll be home from White House soon, darling. Don't wake up.
And then there's our very own Lewis Hamilton.
Our very own Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton looks a bit weird, I've noticed.
Really?
He's got a very, he's got Madame Tussauds look to him. He's like very, I think he wears makeup.
Mm.
Which is something I've noticed.
That could be libelous. Not sure if he does. He is, though, of course, he does love his BlackBerry, but then he's paid to love his BlackBerry.
He's probably paid quite a large amount of money, and then he doesn't pay that much tax on it because he's sorted off to Switzerland.
Have a listen to this.
I don't know how people live without these things. I mean, I'm on it every day with my BlackBerry Messenger. I've got my emails going in and out, all my messages coming in. I've got 200 plus emails from my last Grand Prix.
A sad, sad case of addiction there.
Yeah. Well, he can afford the data charges.
But 200 emails from his last Grand Prix, the one where he won the world championship.
Mm. What does that mean?
I get 200 emails on penis enlargement. If I won the World Grand Prix, the World Championship, I'd expect a few more than 200 emails on it.
Well, maybe, but I suppose he doesn't go around giving out his email address to just everybody.
Gave it to me. Did you not get it?
No.
He sort of winked and handed me a piece of paper. I am a bit worried about him, though. I mean, he's becoming a bit reliant on his BlackBerry, I feel.
Well, I don't think he's quite got to the point where he's checking for emails as he's driving along.
Well, you say that, but normally you'd expect these drivers to sort of brush up, perhaps learn the circuit before they get out there for the race.
Uh-huh.
This is what Lewis Hamilton does.
I rely on modern technology for navigation. I go to many countries and don't know where the hell I am. So you can just have your BlackBerry Storm with you and you'll get you there.
He's going round these circuits with his BlackBerry.
Yes, using the GPS.
That's what's in the centre of those fancy steering wheels.
It's a thing about interviewing professional sportsmen is they're slightly like... they're not the most exciting people in the
world.
They're
not picked for their media ability.
I think possibly the reason he may have said that in the interview is because somebody at BlackBerry had told him to say that.
I'm shocked.
But I could, you know, I'm not... I'm sure he does things off his own back with his
throughout
BlackBerry,
that, he was very, very on message. I think his first sentence was something along the lines of, the new BlackBerry Storm built by... It's great because it's been built by Vodafone, for Vodafone and all this sort of... It was very on message.
I once interviewed Monty Panesar, the England leg spinner.
Mm.
Off spinner, sorry. Left arm slow bowler.
There we go.
Any cricket enthusiasts listening will have enjoyed trying to remember what it is that he does. And yeah, he was like that. He kept on using the phrase, it's great to have an O2, something of a mobile, because it keeps me connected wherever I am. And he used that exact phrase like three times.
Actually, that's a tactic that Gordon Brown uses, a very infuriating man to interview, because he has one message, he says it, he just says the same thing again and again and again.
Yeah.
So it means when you take a clip of him, that's the only thing you can clip, because it's the only thing you said.
It's what you come away with, yeah.
There you go. Not that I've ever interviewed him on technology products, but if I did, I bet that's what he'd do.
He would just repeatedly say, my iPod Touch keeps me up to date with...
There we go. Well, anyway, that's enough BlackBerrying and celebrity bashing. You'll notice I have a different laptop this week, Duncan.
Well, I barely noticed because it's so compact, Dan.
Well, yes, it is tiny. It's the, I did mention it last week, it's the Samsung NC10.
Yep.
It's the netbook I've been lugging around all week and being forced to use.
Quite easily lugging around.
Yes, very easily lugging around, actually. I've got to tell you, I'm struggling to love it completely at the moment. Not because it's a Samsung NC10. I think it's more because it's a netbook. Just the whole netbook phenomenon. I thought I'd really subscribe to this, and I've ditched the proper laptop gone just with this.
Well, your proper laptop was falling to bits, but
yes, it was. But it was nicely sized. I've got to say, I'm not sure I've made a wise move just going with this.
But how much did it cost? I mean, they're so cheap.
It cost £300.
Yeah, that's. I mean, so, which is okay. It's not a. And I got it's not nothing, but that's not a huge amount of money, and it's not.
And I got it because it's got about the biggest keyboard you'll get on a netbook.
Yeah, it is. It's well laid out,
and it's still too small.
My problem, my problem with the netbook thing as a whole, and this includes the keyboard, is that it is a laptop scaled down, and it is a laptop scaled down in every way.
And laptops, they sort of started off with a kind of a squishy keyboard anyway from a big one. And now this is really squishy.
Yeah.
Because the right-hand shift key, I keep hitting the slash key because it's not double-sized. So that's annoying.
Yeah.
The home and end keys, I use them all the time. And they're now on a function button. And it is annoying. Yeah, I keep pressing the wrong buttons as well when I type.
There's the Hewlett-Packard equivalent, whatever their netbook is called. That's got keys in the most ridiculous places. It's like going to sort of scratch your nose and your nose has been moved to your elbow or something. It's like the shift key isn't where it's meant to be. And the shift key is something you use, 100 times a day.
The other thing on this is, and this is, again, a sort of perennial thing with netbooks, the trackpad is tiny, really minuscule.
You could get one of those absolutely tiny mice. As an accessory. Oh, you have?
I haven't brought it with me. But, even that is a bit annoying. You can't always use a mouse. You want to use it. And I'm just about getting used to that. But I wish they'd stick nipples on these things. When I say I wish they'd stick nipples on these things, I mean from the ThinkPad style, because that would work perfectly. They're tiny, and they're just as functional.
They should stick nipples on netbooks.
That's what netbooks need.
They really should.
Nipples.
You can probably download some, I would imagine.
Download a nipple. It's kind of a piece of hardware.
Not to the keyboard.
Perhaps. Oh, I see. I could have on-screen nipples.
I was just making a rubbish, smutty joke.
There we go.
I'm sorry. Well, I think netbooks, they're aimed at young people, aren't they? Young people are statistically more likely to be small. And they'll fit in like a school satchel, a man bag, a handbag. If you're a lady, you might well have a handbag. They'll fit very nicely in a handbag.
It would. I've got to say, though, the battery is absolutely fantastic. You can get 7 hours out of this thing. And the performance, I'm quite surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised that it's reasonable, actually.
Well,
for that little atom.
Most of the time you spend with a laptop or a computer of any kind doesn't really require that much processing
absolutely.
Power.
I'm not
that's
exactly gaming it's on this not, thing.
Exactly. You're not going to be playing like video. Yeah. So, I think netbooks are what they are. They're deservedly successful. I don't want one, but having said that, yours looks very nice.
It does look nice. Yeah, this is about the most sort of manly one I could find. I think.
It's very black.
It's black, and it's got a shiny lid, but that's it. That's it for the shininess. Everything else, very nice. Yes, yeah.
Sophisticated.
Well, let us know what you think of netbooks anyway. Love them or hate them. T3@futurenet.com. Mark your subject podcast, or it'll just get lost with all the penis enlargement ones we get.
All the ones saying, where can I buy an O1 phone?
Yeah.
Which,
sorry, folks, we just made it up.
It's not, I think the general idea is that we are eventually going to produce a working prototype.
Oh.
We're not. We're not all sat around in the office like chiseling bits of plastic into. Or maybe we will be.
I noticed. Yeah, that it's now the O12.
The O12. Is the O1 Mark II. Yeah, yeah.
Is that the O2 now? Or has that been copyrighted?
I think maybe it's coming out on O2. The O1 on O2. The O1 Mark II on O2. I don't know. Anyway, you can't buy it yet. So please stop emailing in asking where you
can
buy it.
But do email us in with what you think of netbooks.
Yes.
Now, Strictly Come Dancing may have been capturing all the headlines, but we know it's I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here that we'll be glued to over the next few weeks. Of course, we know we could do better than Kilroy Silk and his ilk, not least because we have the T3.com Survival Guide. Have you been checking this out, Duncan?
Yes, we do. Sorry, there was a pregnant pause there because you were moving your hand towards your keyboard and I thought you were going to trigger some sort of sound sample.
I was just fondling.
Of somebody eating pigs.
Every now and then I caress it gently.
Kangaroo's testicles, whatever it is they do in I'm a Celebrity.
What would you be taking into the jungle, Duncan?
What would I be taking? I'd be taking an enormous Winnebago with air conditioning, hot and cold running water and
I don't think they have roads in the jungle.
I wouldn't need to go anywhere.
Well, unless you're a logger, of course.
Just park it up underneath a palm tree.
You've not
geography,
really,
geography was never my strong
you've not
suit.
Really thought this through, have you?
Do they have palm trees in the jungle?
I'll tell you what T3. I'll tell you what T3.com's given you. A Nokia N96.
Why?
I'm not sure. I'm guessing because of the GPS.
That wouldn't work in the jungle.
But I think it's a GPS. Yeah, so it doesn't have to kind of message back to base.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
get
it wouldn't, that wouldn't work.
So it wouldn't work. I did put a large question mark next to it.
Maybe it's just so you can enjoy the excellent media player.
You could take pictures.
And Java games.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could take pictures and then find your way back when you get lost.
The Nomad Jungle Basher, which sounds exciting, is actually just a camouflage shelter in a bag.
Oh, yeah, basher as in... Actually, I was thinking you could actually use the N96 to hammer in tent pegs, couldn't you?
That's good. Good thinking. And it's quite shiny, so it could be a reflective thing to message planes.
Very good indeed.
Excellent.
Well done, Dan. Or you could
and
use the
torch.
LED flash to message planes as well.
Also, good thinking. A machete, which is about the only practical thing on here, I think.
Yes, every man needs a machete.
Yes.
Sorry, so what, it's a Nomad basher? That sounds like an anti-gypsy hate crime.
It's a shelter in a bag, and it's camouflage, so jungle creatures can't see you and eat you.
Hmm. If they can't see you, surely they're more likely to eat you, because they'll think you're some foliage. And,
possibly, actually. A digital compass watch.
Fine, but I'd, very much like a compass.
I think I'd just trust a compass on that one. And the weirdest of all, a 5-piece Teflon-coated cooking set. Non-stick is not a priority in the jungle, I find. And also, why do I need 5 pieces of Teflon-coated cooking material?
Because you might be cooking for friends.
But also, they've not given you anything to cook on. So you could have a comedy pan fight.
Surely the idea is that you collect some driftwood, or whatever it is one gets in the jungle, make a fire, and then
there's nothing really that easy to burn in the jungle, because it's all
pretty dry, isn't it?
It's all rainforesty, all wet. So unless you get, I don't know, a palm tree, as you say, you get, you know, filled with palm oil, and they tend to explode if you burn them.
Well, you could set fire to your tent, I suppose.
Yeah, that nomad jungle basher. Yeah, absolutely. That'd be going straight.
And then I think the Teflon is because I think things like lizards and snakes, they stick very easily because they're not very oily.
Well, T3.com is also catered for other scenarios you may find yourself in.
So was that comprehensively rubbished, our own article?
Well, there were some good ones, actually. A solar charger in the desert.
Makes useful. Sense. Yep.
About the only place it would be useful.
Yeah,
because
well,
if you've ever tried
no use over here.
Yeah, rubbish. A Burton Bluetooth jacket in the mountains. I'm not sure Bluetooth's that crucial.
Bluetooth jacket?
Mm.
Is that so your hands can talk to your
The jacket
neck?
Is useful. Well, I think it's got, you know, it's wired with, you know, an earpiece and things like that.
Oh, one of those things. Yeah.
I'm not sure that's crucial, but the jacket would be good. A Trekit travel well for Outback. It's sadly not an instant well, which I was
that
kind
would
of
be good.
For
I was
some
thinking
sort of drilling
very clever.
Kit.
Yeah.
But it will store and filter any water that you do find. I think that's the crucial point, because finding water in the Outback is probably quite difficult.
Well, they have billabongs. I believe.
Apparently. Also, a Leatherman for the forest.
A Leatherman.
Which kind of strikes me as the exact opposite of a sledgehammer to crack a nut.
Yeah, it is going to take you a while.
Yeah.
You could do some whittling. You could whittle some cutlery to use with your Teflon 5-piece cooking set.
You could, yeah. So any of these tempt you for the urban jungle, Duncan?
Yeah, all of them. Well, the machete in particular, obviously. But then I live near Hackney, so...
Yes. I'll go with the Burton Bluetooth jacket. I quite like that. Snowboarding, I think.
It's just the phrase Bluetooth jacket sounds so intrinsically ridiculous. It's like, yeah, I can talk to my jacket via Bluetooth.
Yeah. That's the whole point. Well, anyway, that's just about it. I think the police will want to talk to you about that machete fetish you may have. Just time before you're arrested for your quickfire reactions to this week's last words, beginning with MMS, which is coming to the iPhone.
Oh, is it? Yeah, in Scandinavia only.
In Scandinavia only, yes. Sadly, not here.
Well, that's good. Another good reason to move to Sweden.
There we go. FreeSat Plus, which is launching this weekend. HD finally coming to FreeSat.
Yes, great.
Has anyone got FreeSat?
Nope. Well, I think the problem at the moment is I could be wrong because I haven't checked recently, but you can't get a FreeSat box with a PVR built in, you couldn't initially, so that makes it pointless.
Okay, I think that might have been fixed this weekend.
Well, that shows what I know. I'll do some research one day.
Monty Python TV on YouTube.
Excellent. I think everybody knows all the sketches backwards by now.
And the Nintendo DSi.
Yes, very much like the Nintendo DS.
And also, we should point out about the cameras.
Oh, yes, two 0.3 megapixel cameras.
Because we said that, then someone corrected us.
Yes.
And
regular listeners to this program.
Turns out we were right. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't want to rub it in, whoever it was that wrote in and said we were wrong, but actually we weren't wrong.
Good. Well, you've done brilliantly. So well that you may have to resign in a press conference and be heckled by Jeremy Paxman. That's your lot for this week. We'll see you next Friday on iTunes. See T3.com for all the latest and find T3 on the shelves. Till next week, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.